Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Geekscapists, welcome to a brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host, and we've got a pretty great one coming up. We're going to be looking forward to 2022, kind of looking back at 2021 with our good friend Kate Crusoe. Kate Cornell, why did I call her that? Kate Cornell, she was on our fantasy panel at LA Comic Con, and I actually got a text being like, hey, where's that fantasy panel? Okay, so let's talk about the fantasy panel real quick before we get into the Geekscape. We went to LA Comic Con, and let's just talk about that Saturday. Y'all know now that I proposed on that Saturday, and I was a barrel of nerves. And I showed up to the fantasy panel, the very first panel of the day, and I had the recorder. I plugged it into the board. I was going to record the fantasy panel. There were a couple things that were still up in the air. Matt Kelly was late getting to the – it's not his fault. Matt Kelly was late because of Shane getting to the convention, and, you know – when he got there, he helped fix the sound setup that I had done. I had rushed to do it and wasn't able to test the mics, wasn't able to test the recording. The fantasy panel was great, but the recording of the fantasy panel was a victim of that kind of rushed gig. So sorry, a little rusty on the live panel recordings. It's been a year and a half since we'd done those things, at least a year and a half because of the pandemic and going back to convention. So go back in the feed. I hope you do enjoy some of the live panels that we did at LA Comic Con. There was a really great one on like bad MCU characters. There was a great Geekscape Live. Obviously the Giancarlo Esposito panel and I, he and I talking, that was a really good one. But the fantasy panel, of which Kate Cornell, our guest today, was on, that is a fatality. And it stinks because we had some amazing guests on there on that panel. And I'm just going to have to bring them all back on to Geekscape one at a time to talk to y'all. Or maybe all together. Maybe we'll just recreate it. We will be talking fantasy today. We'll be talking about The Witcher Season 2. We're going to be talking Matrix Resurrections. We'll be talking Cobra Kai Season 4. We're going to keep the spoilers out of this conversation. We'll probably be talking a little bit about the video games we played over the break. What we enjoyed 2021, what we're enjoying and looking forward to in 2022. There's a lot to cover, so I'm glad you're here. The chat is active on Facebook, Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. So throw your stuff in the chat and be a part of it. It's active. Matt Kelly's already in there saying "Escape to the Geekscape," all caps. And this would have never happened if Shane left at a human time for the convention. Yeah, Matt, I know you. It wasn't your fault that we lost the fantasy panel. You did what you could, but it was just too late. It wasn't your fault. And Matt says, I'm excited for Kate to eventually have a wrestling podcast on the network. Yeah, no, we're adding a couple shows to the network here in the next month or two. That's the adding a show siren right now. You hear it? Yep, that siren airs. That siren goes every time that we're adding a show to the network. So every 13 minutes, according to Matt Kelly. And real quick, we got to get to this episode, but Derek just jumped in from Vancouver and says, has Shane ever left at a human time for anything? I'm going to roll that back and say, has Shane ever performed anything on a human level for anything at any point? We may want to check and see if he is human or not. Okay, let's get to Geekscape. I'm actually going to run this back a little bit with a little bit of nostalgia with the theme song. I hope you all enjoy this. This is not the Geekscape theme song you're about to hear. This is a theme song from 2006 of the Jonathan London Show on Adobe Networks. I, in preparation for the live show that Katie and I did, thank you all for that. That's also on the feed. Go back and listen to it. I enjoyed it. I found basically everything I've ever created for Geekscape, Geekdrome, and the Jonathan London Show on Adobe Networks. I found like the treasure trove of nostalgic podcasting stuff. So I'm going to start bringing it back out here. Why not start right now with this theme song? The normal Geekscape theme song will be back next week, but Here we go. Enjoy this little walk down memory lane.
Pirates of the future, sail spaceships, fire robots aboard, robot spaceships.
That was fun, right? The Jonathan London Show. None of you ever listened to the Jonathan London Show, but it's cool. My friend Tom Idobe in 2006 gave me a short-lived show on his network that mainly features like punk bands and bands like that. And Adobe's been doing great. I saw one of their billboards, digital billboards in Times Square. That was a cool moment for Tom. Super big fan of theirs, and I wish them all the success. But between Geekdrome and Geekscape and all that stuff, I couldn't keep doing the Jonathan London Show. But my friend Chris Merritt made that theme song, and I recently found it in the archives and was like, I like that song. I'm going to play it for you. So that's probably a one time only on that one. We're going to go back to the old school Geekscape theme song. And I also threw in the Geekdrome logo. If you're watching this on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter or Twitch, you got to see the old Geekdrome logo, which I'm now calling the Geekscape Forever logo. Pretty sure we're going to make those into t-shirts, and those t-shirts will probably be available at hopefully at San Diego Comic-Con 2022. Hopefully we're back in person at San Diego Comic-Con. I don't see why we wouldn't be, knock on wood, but we'll be back at the booth. We've already paid for it, and I want those shirts to be for sale for y'all. Okay, so come to the booth. Maybe we'll just throw some shirts away and be like, here, you have a shirt. You get a shirt. You get a shirt. I'll do an Oprah. All right. That's enough, Jonathan. We got a lot to cover today. So let's not hesitate. Here's my co-host, Katie, who you last saw on the live show. There's Katie Elsasser.
Hello.
You know, I'm editing that live show. We shot it from multiple cameras. Those of you who watched it on the live stream for Big Brothers Big Sisters, thank you so much. We raised over $2,000 for Big Brothers Big Sisters, specifically Liam in New Jersey.
Thank you.
That was big. Yeah, we had a 15-hour live show, or 15-hour live stream that culminated in the live show, and we just had fun. But if you watched it and you were like, hey, the stream doesn't look that good with the live show, we shot it in three cameras, HD. I'm cutting that together right now. It's a bit of a bear, but I've been cutting at it here and there, and we're going to put that up on the Geekscape TV YouTube page. So be looking
That's
for that.
Awesome.
I'm
so excited to see how terrified I was to just sing in front of people in HD and three
cameras. I did a little audio sweetening. No, I didn't do any audio sweetening.
Oh, please do. I didn't need it. That's very kind of you. That was a lot of fun. I'm excited to do more, you know, with all the stuff that's going on with Omicron and all the, you know, things shutting down. I can't wait to perform live again. And I have so many ideas for so many fun things and bits and sketches and stuff. And I want to get back on the stage, man. I miss it.
We'll just see how the pandemic goes and kind of duck and weave with that. I have plans for another Geekscape Live. We have a date or a weekend scheduled for another Geekscape Live, but it's all going to depend on the pandemic. I'm so grateful that we made it through LA Comic Con, Geekscape Live, as Omicron was starting up. I went to Austin for the holidays, and I immediately went and got
the nose swabby.
Well, I tested and came out, you know, I tested for COVID and got negative, and then I got hit by cedar allergy, and I started playing a game for a week called Allergies or COVID. And if you hear me on the if you listen to the Hawkeye special, the Hawkeye season one special that's up on the feed right before this, there's like, I'm hitting that mute button like every couple minutes because I'm just coughing like crazy. Like that was my impression.
Yeah, that was what a cough is.
There was a lot of muting going on there, and I had to edit a lot of the audio. So apologize for that, Geekscapist. I think it's a great episode. If you finished Hawkeye season one, go back and listen to it, and there's some Easter eggs Ian points you towards, but not the happiest with the audio in some of that. My performance was feeling sick as a dog, and I never got COVID. Like I tested and never got COVID.
I get it. I had that cold that went around for a little while there. I don't remember when it was, but after all of that, it was like, come on. Like, I'm swabbing my nose every day. But hey, here's the good thing about that episode. At least you have the actual episode.
Yeah, no, I feel bad about that fantasy panel.
And it was a good panel, too. And Kate's amazing.
Kate's amazing, and y'all meet her here in a second. Real quick, there's a Facebook user. If you're on Facebook, this is what I learned. If you're on Facebook, we're not going to know who you are on Facebook when you enter the chat, unless you go to StreamYard and link your Facebook and give it permission to access your photo. Otherwise, you're going to show up like that. Yeah, you're going to show up like this. Oh. Facebook user says, Jonathan needed a huck up stuff during that Hawkeye special.
Yeah, I did. Nice.
I did. So
solid.
Fun. I did. It was hard to get through on my behalf because I was like, I'll be fine. And then there wasn't enough water in the world to keep me from coughing.
The worst when all you need to do is speak for like an hour straight and not cough. And you have that tickle. Oh, it's awful. Yeah.
And Matt Kelly also says, if you're in the Geekscape Forever group, which you should all join on Facebook, that specifically is how you end up with Facebook users. So if you don't want to give permission to StreamYard, go over to the Geekscape page on Facebook and chat there. I don't know.
Or just watch on Twitch or YouTube.
Kind of Geekscape Forever on YouTube or Geekscape TV on YouTube.
We want to know who you are so we can shout you out.
Yeah. Do that. All right. That's enough. Let's talk to Kate and let's bring her in here because she's a part of this conversation.
I can't wait to hear you say Kate and Katie all day long.
It works. It's fine. Kate, how are you? Hey, Kate, are you muted? Kate's muted. Let's unmute her. Wait. You have to unmute yourself.
I did it. I figured it out.
Oh, you muted yourself. She did it. I tried to unmute and I got this little warning that said, you cannot unmute the guest.
I cannot.
Oh, that's annoying.
No, it's actually cool because what if Ian had like unmuted me while I'm like
coughing?
Hawkeye. I was like crying.
That would have been the best prank ever.
Yeah, I blame Wilson
like
Fisk.
Remix the Hawkeye podcast.
Kate, how are you?
You've been good.
I haven't seen you since the panel.
That
was only 3 weeks ago. It's been a pretty packed 3 weeks, but
oh my god, it's been 3 weeks.
No, LA Comic Con was early.
I don't remember.
December.
It was this.
The live show was the 3 weeks, two weeks ago.
Live show was 17th, and then
So I haven't seen
that's crazy.
Since the fantasy panel that y'all will never hear. If you want to hear it, I'll put it up. It sounds like some people sound
fine. I think we should just redo it.
It sounds completely echoey.
I think we should just have a reunion.
And then some people.
Some people. Matt Kelly, it was a month ago today. Thank you for keeping track of our calendars.
Matt Kelly does keep track of our calendars here at Geekscape, and he said tomorrow he's working with Charlene from Big Brothers Big Sisters to nail down the live stream for next year.
Great.
Geekscape never sleeps, baby.
Never.
Yeah, no, Geekscape does a lot of charity, and why not have the man who is our charity case run the charity?
No. Okay. Wow. I love that we opened this up by shitting on Shane and then shitting on Matt.
No, listen, Matt posted a picture. He did that, you know, that 10-year challenge where it's like you show a picture of yourself 10 years ago on a picture of yourself.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I'm going to find this thing.
Sorry, you're going to pull it in?
Yeah, I'm gonna find Matt's 10-year challenge. Matt's racing me to Facebook to delete this.
Right.
While we're searching for this photo, that I am a big, big fan of Kate's shirt that says Kaer Morhen on it.
Well, it's not just Kaer Morhen, it's Kaer Morhen Phys Ed.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like a focus of this season of The Witcher, like the whole training
huge thing.
Which apparently, did you know this? They actually shot that in the summer. So all those wintry scenes where they're all decked out in all the heavy clothes.
They started filming earlier and then Henry Cavill got his hamstring injury.
Because he does all of his own stunts.
He does. And it was during like the weirdest. Sorry if you're listening, Henry Cavill, I love you, but it was like the dumbest way to have an accident, which is he was running through the forest. And I think I figured out which episode it was. But he like was running through a forest and then just tore his hamstring and then they had to stop production.
I mean, he's like jumping from like pole to pole. Like he's doing all sorts of different crazy stunts. He's doing so much. And the fact that he pulled it while running in the woods is kind of the best thing in the world.
It's so good. It's just good job, guys.
It humanizes him.
I started watching episode 3 and I stopped when they bring the young girl over to like the wipeout course. And I was like, oh, the Witchers have a wipeout course. This is awesome. They have a course it's like a medieval wipeout course. And they're like, it's either a wipeout course.
I had to like tell my mom what it was. She's like, what is that? I'm like, obstacle course. Like, Witcher obstacle course. And amazing. Then like Siri kept like getting hit. And she's like, that's me every day.
That would be a really good meme. Me it's back so at work good. After the holidays.
There's one where it's like another meme I'm noticing online where it's like just the guy diving headfirst into the snow. This is a Siri version of that. I actually, the only reason I'm here is because of how much I love The Witcher. So I'm like, gotta milk it.
Yeah. Caitlin a few weeks ago was like, can I come on and talk about The Witcher? Can I come on and talk about The Witcher? I said, absolutely, you can come on and talk about The Witcher.
Just leave me alone during Christmas, girl. Just leave me alone.
I was hoping to watch The Witcher in time that COVID's coming back to talk about it, but I've only gotten through 2.5 episodes. I love it though. You know, season one was told out of order and I hadn't read any of the books. So some of that stuff was like, okay. Oh, I had to remember like, oh yeah, yeah. I had nicknames for all the characters. Of course I did. Okay, I'm going to sound like a piece of garbage, but I don't know any of their names. The only character whose name I know is Roach because he's the horse, and I'm down with Roach.
Good horse, and it's the good thing. Here's the spoiler for you: horse is named Roach.
Yeah. Okay, then I'm
Geralt has only one name, so that's all you got to remember.
Yeah, I don't know. Geralt, I thought you were going to say that,
and I know spoilers, Roach.
Okay, cool.
The good witch. Is she a wizard? What is she? Is she the magic sorceress. User who...
The black-haired one?
The sorceress. Yeah, I call her hot or not.
Okay.
She's
hot.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. She's stunning.
She's also from Harry Potter.
But she was... I didn't watch the Harry Potters.
She was a Slytherin.
She's awesome. Incredible actress. What she did with going from the stable maid to where she is like by the end of season one, and you see that transition, and then... I'm starting to
Are you talking about Yennefer or are you talking about
Yennefer?
Oh, Yennefer. Okay. Totally not from Harry Potter. No. But anyway, sorry.
And then I call the magic princess Kirsten Dunst.
Got it. Yep.
And she's awesome. Cirilla. She's awesome in this
princess
show.
Cirilla. AKA awesomeness.
Cirilla, who I also called Sesperilla.
That's also good. She's awesome. And I'm sure she would respond to it.
I like the show. The show's good. It's just
about the name? Is it just like it was so much time before the first season that like you couldn't remember or
the first season was told out of order and you had to kind of puzzle it together in your head and I loved that. I thought it was really cool how you have to puzzle it together in your head and you're like, oh, that took place before this and that. That's great. And it covered so much ground aggressively that first season. This one's told in temporal order and it's and I'm enjoying it. It's cool. I just haven't had time to watch all of it yet.
And the cool thing is even though it's told in temporal order, I feel like they still have a weird way of filming it and making you feel like something something's out of order, but it's not time. So they're doing a really cool thing with Katie. You finished it?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So I'm trying like not to spoil anything, but it's like it's
really hard.
but there are some cool filmmaking techniques that they're using to kind of emphasize certain stories in a different way. Like this is definitely a magical storyline. This is definitely like a weirder storyline, and kind of like blurring the line a little bit, even though they're like we're in temporal order now. Yeah. There's definitely some cool character reveals and how they're doing that on screen is really interesting and how they're doing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part.
Oh, that was a good one. It was like finally, because I mean, if you played any of the games, like Siri is a total badass. It was so nice to see the start of this. Badassery. Yeah, I'm also trying to avoid spoilers too, especially for Jonathan.
Thank you.
But it's like there's so many different like there's a pretty big storyline for Yennefer in this season, and it was not something that was in the books. It was not something in the game, but Lauren Hissrich, which she's the showrunner for Witcher, phenomenal. Big fan of her. She's amazing and such a huge geek for the Witcher series. She talks about like the differences of like what reads on the page versus what reads in film, and how they wanted to do that storyline. And I just thought it was such an interesting take on everything, and what great ways to see how cool Yennefer is in some really dire situations.
And there's something that happens to Yennefer that makes her, everyone, and one of the third episode title is What Is Lost. And I think there is a big through line of every character at the end of last season has lost something big to them, even if they don't know what it is yet. A lot of those reveals of what they have lost are in episode one, which is called The Grain of Truth, which is one of the most famous stories in Witcher. Witcher, the book series, started as a bunch of short stories. So A Grain of Truth.
Which is also why they kind of designed the first season as that sort of disconnected timeline. Because, I mean, these, especially Yennefer and Geralt, they both live very long lives. So they have just like hundreds of years of
between them.
Yeah, between the two of them. So it made sense in my mind, the whole time distortion of the first season.
She was actually inspired by Dunkirk to do that time hopping.
Interesting.
That's when she saw Dunkirk. When she saw Dunkirk, her first thought was, I can do The Witcher now.
Huh. And I don't think
three storylines told in different Dunkirk. Temporal speeds.
Yeah. And Dunkirk was impressive, but I think that here it really works because there's a lot of more connective tissue.
Much more.
And you see overlap. And in Dunkirk, it felt...
It's a little harder to discern.
That was a Christopher Nolan movie where I was like, I wanted 30 minutes on the front end of this thing.
For anyone, and here's what I say to people who had trouble with the first season because of the time jumping, there actually is a meta joke in this season about that. So I'm really happy that they acknowledged that.
I laughed so hard.
I had to pause, Katie. I had to pause my screen, and I just had to like.
There's a couple things in here, couple jabs.
A lot of jabs. Great. But Netflix had a really good a recap of season one. Mm-hmm. And I honestly just tell people, watch that recap. Start with season one, episode 8, just to get the Battle of Sodden. And then you can start with Witcher season 2. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a separate... Is that something they put up on YouTube, or is that actually in Netflix?
It's a Netflix YouTube thing because they did a whole recap of season one just for because it's been a year ish.
Yeah,
so they kind of helped
like
people.
A trailer. I think it's in the trailer section in Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it when someone shows up and I was like, oh, that's the dude who did the thing and that's the woman who did the. Okay, I know where we're at here.
There's a great meme. There's a great Witcher meme about that's the one where people are sitting back and then get excited. And it's when Geralt shows up and everyone's sitting back. And it's when Yennefer shows up and everyone's sitting back. When Yaskir shows up and everyone's
And he doesn't show up for a minute. And it's when he does show up, I'm like, I completely forgot about this character.
That's the bard?
It's the bard. But he did show up in a... There was a lot
Dandelion
of...
Dandelion in the books.
And Yaskir is Polish for dandelion, so that's why they made the name kind of more in the world. And he did show up in his signature purple coat. From Witcher 3. I was very happy. So my game over the break was, because I work a lot, I work a lot on set, but when I'm not working, I am dreaming about Witcher Wild Hunt. Witcher Wild Hunt was the game that got me into gaming. It was my game. Whoa. I had watched my brother play Skyrim. I'd watched ex-boyfriends play Fallout, and I just didn't have a game. I was just like, oh, it's cool to watch. And it is cool.
I'm but fascinated that Witcher 3, because Witcher 3 has a pretty in-depth and complicated HUD. So I'm very interested to know, was it because you were watching your brother playing Skyrim and all these very in-depth inventory logs and things like that that got you into Witcher 3?
Honestly, the inventory logs were harder for me. And it took me a hot minute. It took me halfway through Novigrad to be oh, yeah, potions are the shit.
They mentioned them a lot.
But the good thing is, you don't have to get. With the cool thing about The Witcher 3 is you can do things one bit at a time. You know, unlike Final Fantasy, for instance, you don't have to master everything at once. You can just go into combat or do signs for a little bit, and then
choose how you want to play the game.
Yeah, and the amount of stuff in Witcher 3 that. Is now they don't have access to Witcher 3 as a IP because they're going off of the books. So a lot of these episode titles are story titles. But they did put a little bit of a giant Witcher 3 Easter egg for the game fans. And it was very, like, very blatant. And I was just like, I'm so into it.
Are we talking about a certain character? Or
no, it is a prop. In Kaer Morhen, which is the second episode, they walk by, they have a pan across the two swords.
I called that, and you see them parallel in chains.
Yeah.
I call that sequence the Planet Hollywood sequence.
It is the Planet Hollywood sequence.
I turn to Heidi and I go, do you ever go to a Planet Hollywood where they have props from all these different movies?
Yeah.
Like, that looked like the Kaer Morhen, like, Planet Hollywood wing, where they were like, oh, this is the room where we have props.
Right.
And you remember that scene, Katie? He talked about, like, the first Switcher and you have the suit of armor. Derek says Wild Hunt is the greatest of all time. We have an anonymous Facebook
user. The one on the
user.
Top where the cross guard is this way is the Viper Sword. And the one with the cross guard that's straight, that's twisted, is Geralt's sword. Those are the first ones that kind of appear on the lock screen.
Holy shit. Well, that was the nerdiest thing we ever had on this podcast. Say it later, Kate.
No way!
You're Bring home. You're home. This is where you've always belonged. Your home.
Was like, nah, Japan.
an anonymous Facebook user says, you could easily do a whole podcast just on first great games. You said Wild Hunt, right? It was like your first big game. Katie, what would you say yours was? The game that you're like...
It was honestly the original Zelda on NES. But what really, like, really, really drove me in was Ocarina of Time. Pretty basic on that one, but so good. No, I would stay up, like, late at night playing, and then, like, I would dream about the puzzles and stuff. Those games. And my mom, I remember, so my mom and my dad were divorced, and still are, but my sister came over to take me to my dad's house, and it was so funny because I was playing, and she's like, Katie, we have to go to dad's. And my mom shouted, she's almost through this temple. Let her get through it. Because she was so
invested. Strengthens your bond right there.
Yeah, it really did.
I'm going to go as the original Sonic. As the game. That's the one I saved my money for. I was like the one that didn't come out on Christmas or anything. Yeah. Jonathan had to save all his money and allowances and mowed lawns to get the Genesis and Sonic, and I was so impatient that I got the Genesis before Sonic. I got it with Altered Beast just to be like, I'm going to be ready. I want to be ready with because I don't think Sonic, when it came out, was going to be a packaged title. I think it was just going to be a separate game. So I wanted to be ready with a catcher's mitt for when Sonic showed up. I was so excited.
Speaking of which, new Sonic teaser trailer came out for an open world Sonic. How are you feeling? Did you like that? Did you enjoy that?
Yes, I have trepidation because, like, when that open world-ish Sonic came out on the Dreamcast, I thought it was going to be, like, my ultimate game, especially coming out of, like I enjoy the stuff that was on the Sega Genesis, the Sega CD. Like, those are great Sonic games. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that first Dreamcast game was so much of a stumble. And we'll see how Sonic is treated in 3D this time around. I have my hopes. So, I mean, I'll get it.
Those last sweeping shots looked so gorgeous. Breath of the Wild style.
I keep thinking to myself, like, maybe Sonic is just a 2D thing, because I think Sonic Generations was great. I think some of the fan-made stuff that then got adapted by Sega officially was awesome, but I'm really worried about it. Will I get it? Yeah, I'm going to try. Of course I'm going to get it. David Wilt over on Facebook says, one of the games I remember playing that was hard to beat is The Legend of Zelda. Well, you were playing with power now, so you had this, you know. But David, you were now playing with power. So you have it inside.
You're also playing with, like, a better translation, likely. Yeah. Where the English is actually full sentences.
Well, we've aged ourselves here. We've all kind of said what generations we're in.
True.
I'm looking forward to it. Of course, I'm looking forward to the movie. That was, like, the last movie I saw pre-pandemic was Sonic in theaters.
But also, was anyone else, like, confused at the end of that trailer at how Idris Elba's voice made them feel? Because I was.
Because
I was like, oh, this is a Sonic trailer. This is a Sonic trailer. And then his voice came out of this, like, little thing, and I'm like,
no.
Yeah, but it was Knuckles.
It's Knuckles.
I was so...
Why like, am I feeling this way?
Go ahead, Idris.
Stop it.
Knuckle it.
the kindness, or they pronounce it kindness, like where do they live? Because are they like what country or what part of the world?
Not part of the world. I think it's a different world.
No, no, right? The echidnas, like just in Earth, like hedgehogs, like where does an echidna live? Like, is it native to like New Zealand or something? Because I think maybe like if it's native to like a New Zealand or something, it should have like a New Zealand accent. But you know what? Idris Elba can do whatever he wants, and I'm okay with that. We're living in his world, and if he wants to play Knuckles, I think it's great. It just reminds me when I went to Nick Scown's holiday. Okay, the day after, 2 days after our live show, Katie, my friend Nick Scown has been on the show. He released a film this year. Too Soon, Comedy After 9/11. Available on YouTube. If you go to the to YouTube,
search
you
can bar and YouTube.
It's awesome. Well, it's like Spike. It's like Spike's TV. It's not Spike TV. It's I forget who put it out.
Something produced.
Yeah, it was awesome, and it's a really good documentary. It's got a lot of awards this year. So I was over at Nick Scown's holiday party, and everybody's talking about the screeners they're getting, and it's, you know, it's one of these like holiday like Hollywood brunches, and everybody's like, oh, what screeners did you get? I thought this was amazing. I thought this was great. I thought this was awesome. I'm always feeling left out of like kind of out of place at those things, and somebody was talking about Idris Elba, and they're like, oh, he can do no wrong. I was like, I know, and he's playing Knuckles the Echidna in the new Sonic the Hedgehog 2 movie, and I can't wait. Meanwhile, if you want to kill a conversation, like that's how you do it. Because I was like, and no response from the adults. First of all,
I also love the fact that like it's like, oh yeah, Idris Elba playing James Bond. No, he's playing Knuckles. Hardcore.
Yeah. I'm down. Give it to me. I mean, need it in my veins.
That Western Mainline movie it. He was in was so good. I really enjoyed
like
that.
Like a nerd potion.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
But like if you're in a group of like snobby film people who don't play at least a little bit of games, that's on them.
I don't want to be, you know what? I was like, no. I became the SpongeBob meme, and I was like, I'm going to head out. I'm good. Jim Pogrelli, he cleared it up for me and says, echidnas are Australian, or echidnas, or how do you say it?
Like I had kidneys? No idea that this was like a name. I was thinking this was like,
it's the, like a hedgehog.
Like what Sonic's like, that's so cute. Like ethereal like being species was.
And they're I
was like,
real what? Animals. And understand that middle school Jonathan went crazy. I was like, I need to learn everything about them.
That might be the nerdiest thing that's ever been on this podcast.
No, we've been around. No, we just celebrated 15 years.
Do you have any other animals that you thought were fake but turned out to be real? Like, I thought narwhals were 100% not real.
Did you really? Because they had a horn. Yeah,
I legitimately thought that they were like fake. Okay. And then I was like, the unicorns of the sea, that can't be real.
I don't know if this counts, but a lot of the, and this is weird because I knew that. In Shang-Chi, when they went to the mystical land, I didn't realize, like, I knew that a lot of those were Chinese folklore animals, but I didn't know that, like, most of them were. And so the nine-tailed fox came up, and I'm like, you got a Pokemon in here?
Yeah.
Like, that's it. What happened?
it's like Katsune, or it's got a name.
Yeah. That was my weird nerdy deep dive. Everyone's celebrating Shang-Chi, and it should be celebrated because that is a huge milestone of a movie. But I was on my phone going like, what is this? What is this folklore animal?
Why is there a Pokemon in my? Why is there a Pokemon in my Shang-Chi? Chris Robinson says they ain't real animals. He collects coins and is blue. No. He was real to me, damn
You're
it.
Missing the point.
He was real to me. Okay. In middle school, that's all I had.
Christopher Robinson, do you not have a heart?
Christopher Robinson, heart. Do you not have a teddy bear like the size of your knee?
Jim Pogranelli comes back. Jim Pogranelli says, oh, echidnas are also egg laying mammals like the platypus. I want to see that in the movie. I want to see Idris Elba lay an egg.
Well,
I don't know how to feel about that either.
No, if he lays an egg, here we go. If he lays an egg, Oscar nomination.
That's not nice. I'm so sorry.
If he lays an egg, Oscar nomination. You heard it here first. Hey, can we get back to the fact that Matt Kelly is our charity case, and this is what he looked like 10 years ago? Okay, so I'm not giving up on this. Okay, so here's Matt Kelly. recently on the 10-year challenge. Sorry, Geekscapists, if you're listening to this on the podcast the next day, this isn't going to be too fun for you. I'll try and describe the pictures in detail. But if you're listening, if you're watching this, and you should be watching this, we love doing the show live. Here we go. Here's Matt Kelly recently, as seen on Facebook. You know what? Hey, that's a pretty good photo. Took it when Matt was in town for LA Comic Con. We all went to dinner.
Good portrait mode.
And I use my portrait mode to take a picture of Matt Kelly. What a handsome, handsome dude.
Handsome what a good looking
guy. Those glasses look really good on you.
Matt Kelly is a good looking guy. It would, keep in mind, like, I think Geekscape's good for you on a physical level. I think it's good for you. It helps you. It helps your happiness, and your happiness makes you better looking. Because this is Matt Kelly. Here's Matt Kelly 10 years ago. Okay. Here's what I call... Stop the Steal, Matt Kelly. here's I'm Matt Kelly.
When I first saw this, I thought that was maybe Shane.
When I first saw this, I was like, was this 10 years ago or 10 months ago on January 6th, headed to Washington? Like, which Matt Kelly is this? He's got the goatee. He's got the Oakleys. I think I argued with this guy on Twitter about whether or not the pandemic was a hoax. Like, this guy, this is a different Matt Kelly here. So this is 10 years ago, Matt Kelly. We love Matt. He's like a young brother. He's like my brother.
Also, and the shirt's not spelled right.
No, I just want to tell y'all, like, this is physical, visual proof that that Geekscape is good for your health.
Because that was a Philadelphia Flyer shirt, right?
Yeah. No, it's just a Philadelphia.
It might have been folded. Yeah. You know, he took that on the train down to Comic Con. That's actually Matt Kelly
put
smiling.
Put that photo up again. They ain't no H. Okay,
I believe it. I was looking that closely,
Matt,
but I believe it.
I'm sorry. The ladies want to see the photo again. Okay, Philadelphia.
Why doesn't it have
Matt, that is not a fold. There's no A. There's no, the second H in Philadelphia is not there. Matt, where'd you buy that shirt? Did you buy that shirt coming out? It's like one of the shirts you buy, like when you come out of the arena. When you come out of the arena and they're like selling shirts, and like, hey, it fell off a truck. I don't know.
Or it's the ones that like,
hey, it still worked because two out of three of us didn't catch it.
I didn't notice it. Still worked.
Yeah.
But you know what? And looking at this Matt Kelly, does he give a damn? Nah. This Matt Kelly gives zero F's.
That's the action hero look away.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a sweet story. You want to see this? That's actually on the train to San Diego. Aww. Matt Kelly saying this on YouTube. After you surprised me by flying in my parents for my birthday.
Aww.
I love how that's a sweet story about that's a you. Sweet story.
That's well, I'm a nice guy. You know what? If it didn't involve me, it's still a sweet story, right?
Yes.
And that is Matt smiling right in this photo. There he goes. Facebook user says, hey, Kenny Power vibes right there. Yeah, you do have Kenny Power vibes.
Legit.
100% Kenny Power vibes.
Yeah. Matt Kelly says that shirt was a going away gift from a family friend, and we noticed it was misspelled when my mom took that photo. So, yeah, it's good that your family friend had is it a going away gift or a getting rid of gift? You tell me. I don't know. I miss Matt Kelly.
I know.
Miss that Matt Kelly. He was great at LA Comic Con. Kate got to meet him, and I guess y'all are talking about doing a wrestling podcast on the Geekscape Network. I'm the last to learn about all that stuff. Matt's like,
you were there.
Was that a real conversation? Was that a thing? Okay. I don't know. Because, you know, sometimes Matt talks to these people and he's like, hey, we're adding a podcast where they review nachos. And I'm like, what? Okay. Like, I don't know any of this stuff.
I will be on that podcast. Please sub me
the
pod.
It hits the network.
You get free nachos?
Feeds.
I didn't even know you could do that. Let's just review food.
I look up and suddenly there's like podcasts on the network. And I'm like, Matt, what the hell is this? And he's like, it's our new podcast. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
As long as it's got a cute banner. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
It's got a cute banner. It's good. I think Matt is looking healthy these days. All right, Matt, congratulations, buddy, on the glow up, man. We love you so much. Speaking of the glow up, like 2022, is there stuff that you're looking forward to? Let's talk a little bit about what are the things that is like the most anticipated geek release of 2022, or do you have like a Geek New Year's resolution? And this is something I posed to the Geekscapists as well. If you're in the chat, go ahead and let us know what your New Year's resolution is, or the maybe the release that's being that's most anticipated for you. We talked about the Sonic open world game. What are some things that you're looking forward to in 2022?
Go for
the
it.
The Batman.
Yeah. You're looking forward to the Batman.
The Batman.
There's not enough Batman movies. Yeah,
there's not enough Batman movies. But that's why they put the in front of it, just to make sure it was like the one.
Yeah. This is the
Batman. Which Batman are you seeing? Which Batman are we on?
The
Batman. Okay, because I was going to get confused with the 15 other iterations.
Here's my secret fan theory, which is not so secret anymore. I think they're going to combine, which they kind of started to do in the comics. I think they're combining Riddler and Hush.
Ooh.
This is a very Hush acting Riddler in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what I've heard from the movie, people who've seen previews of it, is that this is basically Saw with Batman in it. Like, this is very much a horror movie with Batman in it. And I'm like, well, if you're not a fan of child endangerment, they're all horror movies. Like, if you're actually caring about a city's well-being, they're all horror movies to me, because the last thing that dude does is fix Gotham City. That dude's an asshole. He's like, look at all this money I have. Not going to put it in the right places. I'm going to build a fucking tank.
I also think it's going to be a really interesting story. It's hard. I read a really interesting article about Batman in one of the newspapers that decided to do geek stuff for one day. I know, it was weird.
Our geek issue. Yeah.
Well, it was because they were tying it into how do you tell a Batman story when they're he's so connected to the police.
He's now a cop. Like, yeah, I read on there's a Twitter thread. Yeah, where somebody said, hey, how do you 39, 40.
Yeah, how do you
all the stuff he had was cool. Now cops have this stuff.
Yeah, or it's how do you do a story in an environment that is not as pro cop as the 90s? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, because I mean that was the whole like fun of like Batman in the 90s was that like you had the fun like I'm gonna say it like
the Schumacher
style ones? like all of the bad guys like were cool bad guys, you know. They weren't grungy, like, well, they
was a little too 1960s.
Commissioner
was
Gordon was like the police department was like kind of okay, and even in like the Christopher Nolan one, like only like one cop was like the bad cop, like
everybody was like kind of like morally geared towards good, and then
but Batman himself is a cop. Like in 1940 when this character came out,
he was like
oh, look at these smoke bombs, look at these zip lines, look at this like anti-riot gear and my bat tank and like all this stuff. Cops have that now. Like, he just turned himself into a cop without repercussions. That's basically Batman now, is a cop that doesn't like listen to anybody. And
I think that this the Batman is going to address that in the terms of like not everything is how you think it is. And I'm really kind of liking that as a Batman story. And it kind of puts Batman and Gotham on blast. So I'm excited for it. And I think the actors are really cool.
I was cynical about it until the Zoe Kravitz trailer, the Cat in the Bat trailer. I was very cynical of it. I was like, guys, I'm exhausted of this. And then when you got a little bit of the love story, when you had a bit of the plot and how they're really integrating the Catwoman storyline in there, I was like, oh, I like the love story. I go to Batman movies for the love story.
Anyone who uses the trailer song Something in the Way by Nirvana and remixes it, I'm like, okay, legit. You're legit.
Matt Kelly says, Batman's just a cop that doesn't listen to anybody. So just a regular cop then? Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, there's something to be said for that, Matt.
Yeah,
that's fair. I mean, you 10 years ago doesn't agree with that sentiment. Blue Lives Matter, Matt Kelly, on the way down to San Diego Comic Con doesn't feel that way, but yes.
Also, isn't Across the Spider-Verse coming out this year?
Oh, that's the one for me. Across the Spider-Verse. I think it's October, September. That's the
one. Which is really hard for me not to say it without going, Across the Spider-Verse.
Yes. You got to start singing the Beatles. Yeah. You know, and it's part one, so I'm super stoked that we're getting two Across the Spider-Verses.
Yeah,
and
that was a cool review.
While we're talking about Spider-Man, let's see what is happening with the video game, because you know Katie and I are going to jump co-op on that Miles Morales, Peter Parker team up.
Can't wait. Heck,
that video game hits, if it hits this year.
I'll be over here playing Witcher 3, but I will support the hell out of you.
What system are you on?
Oh, I'm on an Xbox.
Heck yeah.
This is also my fourth playthrough of Witcher 3.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
well, because amazing. I'm doing the... Okay, sorry. I'm going to go back.
Go ahead.
I did it all the way through for Yennefer, all the way through for Triss. And then I went back a third time to do some of... I didn't get Cave of Dreams because I forgot about it. There were certain quest lines that open and close if you, you know, at certain times. So I was trying to get all the hidden ones.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then... CD
I got
Project
to Skellige,
Red,
and then everything got so much harder, and I stopped.
Skellige's honestly
don't
worth
admit
it.
That.
No, Skellige's worth it. And if you need me to come to beat the giant for you, I will hold your hand and walk you through it. I got you.
No problem.
But in Skellige, there's a really cool quest where it's called Cave of Dreams. It's awesome. Okay. But
Katie,
CD Projekt
Cave of Dreams incel bot knows is the one outside of Cleveland.
Okay? Jonathan, how much of Witcher 3 have you played through?
Zero, but exactly. Let me tell you, when it gets hard, nope.
Okay, first, no, how about this? How much of Skyrim have you played through?
Oh, I played through Skyrim.
Through the entire thing?
Yeah, Skyrim's fun.
I started my own playthrough of Skyrim just to, you know, have something to talk to my brother about, and I have a cat person, and his name is Sir Mittens.
I'm not going to go back and play as one
of the cat. I just want everyone to know the level I'm at.
fair.
Like, I don't want to make my own character. His name is Sir Mittens. Sir
Mittens. I think in the last 15 years, have you not played through Skyrim through some game system? And, like, I played it late in the game. I played it on the Switch.
Ooh,
that's a very
wow,
late
that
port.
That is late in the game.
That's
wow.
a late port.
That's a very late port.
But like, they worked hard to make sure you played this damn game.
Yeah.
They're like, you want it on your Apple Watch? Like, they worked hard to make sure you weren't missing your Skyrim.
Right.
I played it once through on a PC, and then I played it in VR, and that is a whole other experience.
I don't even know.
I think that's the way to play it.
It's hard with the spells, but when it comes to, like, Sword and Shield, it's so fucking cool.
Katie,
didn't
here's
they
my
do
nearest
Fallout
resolution.
In VR?
They did Fallout 4 in VR.
New
Year's resolution, 2022. Katie, right. You can't be saying video games are hard, okay? We got attacked by a digital terrorist during the live show. Incelbot, our very own Ultron came and attacked you, doubting your gaming prowess, and you cannot leave yourself up for attack again, Katie, because, like, this dude, he's having it out for you. I don't know if you listened to the live show, but Incelbot attacked us on stage and said, you're not a real gamer, so you saying that things are hard, that's not in your vocabulary in 2022, Katie.
Fair enough.
Also, but just throwing it out there, Katie, because I feel like you would appreciate this. The Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special is coming out this year.
Dude, yes, absolutely. Because that was actually one of the games that I played over the holiday break. And I'm still playing a little bit of it here and there. But I really liked the Guardians of the Galaxy game. It's like Mass Effect, but with more fun.
Oh,
like, I heard it's
politics.
Great.
I hadn't heard of that.
Yeah, so it's... It's not as open worldy as Mass Effect can be.
Got it.
Can be. It's still a little bit more on the rails, but I think the voice acting is amazing. I think the jokes are really funny, and the action's very fun. And
cool.
I'm not really one for the like I have to make my team go do this while I go do this, and I shoot this while this person I direct this person to go do that. I'm not huge
is
on
like
that.
Real time
like,
strategy stuff.
Yeah, it's a little bit, but it's a little more team management, but like they've
That's
truncated
cool.
it to be just sort of not button mashy, but at least something a little bit more or like changing the stances within Ghost of Tsushima. It's a little bit more like that. Yeah. So
okay. Oh, that I love that stuff. That stuff is so much fun.
Yeah.
Did you
yeah.
play
I go like this,
the new Avengers one?
And then I go this.
I haven't played the new Avengers one yet. No.
I would start
Yeah.
I don't know, Katie. I hear such bad stuff about that game, especially from the Geekscape Games podcast.
I keep hearing
Geekscape
bad things about it, too.
Geekscape Games podcast is like, Square is supporting it, then not supporting it, then Square's like changing the prices on things, and then they're changing, like, and they're nerfing stuff, and, like, it sounds very messy.
I don't know about that. I don't know about all the I know I had fun, and my roommate had fun, and it was nice to, it was a completely different Avengers storyline.
Yeah.
So, to play through... After going through the MCU and going back in a different storyline, I thought was really cool. Also, Ms. Marvel's in it, and she's great.
I do love that.
And Spider-Man is coming or hasn't come to that game yet. I know he's part of a new release, but Listen, I get all my news on that game from Geekscape Games, and you should too, Geekscapist. But if it doesn't say Insomniac on it, I'm going to wait for the critical consensus. And the only one that really passed the mustard for me was the Guardians of the Galaxy game. Because at first I was like, why isn't this a multiplayer game? Why can't you play as anybody but Star-Lord? And then when I started hearing the reviews of it in the comparisons to Mass Effect, I was like, this game is one that I want to pick up for sure.
I like it.
That sounds great.
You've convinced me.
Yeah, I feel like I've
put down my Witcher sword and go into space.
Telling you, man, that Insomniac Spider-Man 2 is going to come out very soon.
Oh, wow.
Well, maybe not. And
really good Spider-Man games. I'm very
excited. And the Wolverine game they announced, Katie.
That looks great.
All we got was a trailer, but it was great.
Yeah, there's like 2 seconds.
We want it. I want it.
I was like, ooh, that I want that. But yeah, speaking of games and things that I'm looking forward to in the new year, Horizon Zero Dawn or Horizon Forbidden West has been on my list for forever. And I'm guessing, I don't know this for sure, but I feel like I'm going to need to get a PS5 in order to do that.
I've been holding off on getting a PS5 for as long as I can, especially since I just started playing games over the pandemic, but yeah. Like, I thought I was hot shit, like, doing, like, Xbox One. I'm like, yeah, I'm, like, going through. And then
it's
I'm like,
system.
Oh, my God. Even, it's like, the controller.
They're growing on trees either. So I think that's saving us, too.
That's the other part.
Like, because, we'd have it if it was like, attainable. Oh, Matt Kelly just added a podcast.
That's the podcast. Every time a siren goes by, Matt Kelly.
Even if they were attainable, like... I mean, we'd have them if they were attainable. We totally would have splurged on those during the pandemic, but luckily they're harder to find.
But I did just get a graphics card from my amazing boss. So
nice. Send it to Shane. Send it to Shane. He'll bring
it. No, I won't. Sorry, Shane, but no. First of all, don't know if it's compatible. Yeah. Second of all, I'm very excited to put it
Neither
in.
Neither does Shane.
I meant to add it in today and ran out of time for various reasons. But yeah, no, I'm very excited to at least just reinvest in my PC gaming too.
Yeah. Facebook user says, will we see Breath of the Wild 2 in
I don't think we will. I want it. That means we're not going to get it.
I mean, we're going to find out at E3. I think by the time we get to E3, we're going to know more. And if we don't hear about it at E3, that's going to be at earliest a first quarter 2023 game.
Right.
But Jim Pelgrinelli says, hey, we have more MCU streaming series coming away. Yes. We got She-Hulk, Moon Knight,
Ms. Marvel.
And what else? We got Ms. Marvel. Mm-hmm. The ones that are filmed are She-Hulk, Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel, and then we got the Armor Wars and stuff like that coming up. Mm-hmm. Secret Invasion. We talk about all this stuff on the last two specials, the Spider-Man No Way Home and Hawkeye specials, if you want to go back in this feed. There's spoilers all over those specials. We're trying not to spoil things here, but if you go back to those specials, there's going to be spoilers all over, so you've been warned.
Right.
Go enjoy
also,
them.
We have, I think, Andor's coming out this year on the Star Wars front.
Yes.
Oh, I'll watch that. I like that Cassian Andor story. Yeah. I like it a lot. And we got that first episode of Boba Fett.
Yeah, I haven't seen Boba Fett, so I'm really excited. That's probably going to be after this podcast. I'm going to eat pie and watch
it. No, I recommend it. Jonathan, have you watched it yet?
Yes, I've watched it. And listen, I'm going to stay optimistic. There are people who are critical of how he's arguably a good guy in the series and that. I'm like, hey, listen, he is... as much a good guy as I believe the Mandalorian was a good guy. And there's a lot of comparisons to how they're treating that character. Mm-hmm. And they're like, did they just turn Boba Fett into the Mandalorian where he has a moral code? I always thought that his code was financial. And that's how it was in Empire Strikes Back. I think his one flaw was he didn't check to see if Han Solo was blind behind him. But I like him. And I love that Tamara Morrison's playing him. I like everything that they're doing about it. Robert Rodriguez, who I love, is the director of this first episode. Mm-hmm. Joe
and
Johnson
he directed the episode where Boba Fett appeared in The Mandalorian in season 2.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Where the child got abducted. Yeah. And that was a great episode. He got abducted. That was a great episode. Other than like all these amazing combat strategists don't decide to keep the high ground. But whatever. The whole thing is I enjoyed that episode. And I enjoyed this episode.
Or that he doesn't put his little pack back on. So he has to run up that hill.
The whole thing with Grogu and that episode specifically, I think it was 5 or 6 of The Last Mandalorian season 2, is like,
It was five because six was my favorite episode.
You got the high ground. Why are y'all running around with the rocks?
And what do we know about the high ground in terms of Star Wars? Mm-hmm. Also, I just saw the comment Derek put in the chat, and I'm mad at him.
You have the high ground. Yeah, Derek is like, surprise, you're getting a Hyrule Warriors drop, Katie.
Yeah, fuck you.
Enjoy that this year.
Yeah. I was supposed to watch Boba Fett, but I watched season six of Queer Eye instead.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
The one in Austin?
Yeah. I got through the second episode and then I couldn't stop bawling, so I stopped.
That's the one with the
keep going. That's the one where she is not supported
by her parents. Yeah. Heidi was watching that because we'd just gotten back from Austin and it was like,
oh, cool.
I was like, oh, I'm watching it over her shoulder, being like, oh, I miss my home already.
I do love that it's all become Mark's show too now, because like he was like, yeah, let's watch another one. Like, this is how we got you on Great British Bake Off.
Matt Kelly says, good call. I just finished crying through all 10 episodes today. So
here's a question I have for people who might know more than me. Are we getting Willow this year or next year?
I don't know, but what did they say anything about the Disney Plus celebration? Like when during that Disney Plus celebration, they didn't say anything. They showed that behind the scenes, and that's about it.
That's why I'm dying. I'm just like, you can't just do that to me, Disney. You can't just like be like, we're gonna here's all your dreams. I'd love to see that. But
Jim Paganelli says the high ground ain't everything, Jonathan. One time Luke had the high ground, and Vader just threw a lightsaber at him and knocked Luke's dick into the dirt.
Yeah. In the dirt.
Jim, let's replay that though. He actually cut some support pieces, some support beams, and knocked. Then that is what knocked Luke's dick into the dirt, if you're saying it. Like dirt in Cloud City, like I think dirt, what happens to dirt in Cloud City? Like you just brush it off the edge and it falls back to whatever gas planet is in beneath you. I don't know how that works. Like it'd be pretty easy to like get rid of dirt on, don't you think, Cloud City? Like I don't know. You got one of those mouse rays running around like a Roomba?
Does anyone else live in Los Angeles? There's fucking dust everywhere here.
I know, but we actually have
ground.
But
we're also not floating.
Have ground. That's what I'm saying. Like, all you got to do is like open the floor and you've cleaned your room.
You know, it's been a while since I lived in a cloud, so it's hard to tell. We should ask Kirby.
I just thought that's where you were shooting your podcast area from.
This is from the cloud.
I didn't know you weren't in the clouds.
That's where we is.
Just mentally.
Yeah.
Chris Robinson, one of my favorite Geekscapists, says, my girlfriend was just bawling over that second
episode. Yeah, your girlfriend?
Episode.
You were bawling.
Oh,
I'm not questioning the fact he has a girlfriend. He was also bawling.
This weird rivalry that Chris bawling.
She's like, are you crying? He's like,
no.
No.
I'm sure as hell ain't going to admit that on
Geekscape. I hope an angel does the deadlift.
Chris Robinson, incel bot is watching you.
Christopher Robinson, thank you so much. I'm sure you're an amazing human being.
And here's
using your fodder for...
clarification, the dick in the dirt was in Jedi, Jonathan. It's an expression. It's an expression.
I don't think we were actually saying it was literal dick in the dirt. I think it was metaphorically.
I was saying that Vader like spun it and then cut his dick off. And
that you think he only lost his hand?
Which honestly is a great
drop
lightsaber
that dick
strategy,
into the back to tank.
Could you imagine?
I need some back to
Would they like reconstruct?
Back to reconstruct? Like just you see a bunch of Jedi with like. Back to underwear.
You know, we're gonna have to ask Caden Christensen when he comes back for that Kenobi series, which maybe
Kenobi's coming out.
That's right.
Don't get too excited. Maybe there's a dick in the back to scene.
Love it.
Where he's like, I need to reattach it.
I need it. Also, at the end of Witcher, this is the only spoiler I have because the trailer's now out. They announced as part of the expansion of the Witcherverse, Blood Origin.
Yes.
And if there's that much footage to create a trailer, Netflix needs to freaking tell me what weekend I have to like not talk to anybody, block off, and like, no, this is my weekend, my Blood Origin weekend.
You know, we run a support group for addicts. That's what Geekscape is. And we love having...
It's just geeky addicts over.
You know what? That's all it has ever been, Katie. Geekscape's always just been like, my name is Jonathan, and I am an addict.
Hi, Jonathan.
Hi, Jonathan.
I don't drink. I don't do drugs.
What was your lowest low?
I do all of this stuff. My lowest low.
Lowest lame.
Come on now. My lowest low.
Lowest
you know what?
Lame.
My lowest low my lowest low is forgetting the Lois Lane line in our song at the beginning of the Geekscape live show.
I had like one stanza and I was like so in my head and I was like, I think we're at this point. I don't know.
Very Bolt T call. Says, are we going to get Incel Bot is Watching merch? Yeah, maybe. Incel
I Bot's also appreciate computer, maybe. Christopher Robinson's comment above it.
I got dust in both my eyes. You, sir, need to live in Cloud City where you can get rid of the dust just by opening your floor. All right, pal.
Oh, man.
I'm not crying.
Yeah. A lot of people got I don't want to say fooled because I'm going to go with the narrative that I was going to quit Geekscape during our live show. And
yeah,
y'all
you fooled a lot of people.
Convinced me not to. Oh, people who like knew I was about to record a Spider-Man special thought that I was quitting Geekscape that night. Derek Cranevelt.
So Ian Kerner?
Derek Cranevelt was like, wait, is Jonathan really doing this? Big Yanks in Long Island really thought I was going to quit Geekscape that night. And you know what? No. Let's fix the narrative. I was going to quit Geekscape that night, but all you good-hearted Geekscapists at the end did your little Peter Pan clapping fingers or whatever the heck they do when Tinkerbell dies. they all clap and y'all brought it back to life and you brought me back. So
they just gave you sentimental sappy video
and then the modern day version of the Peter Pan is everybody clap your hands.
And that's what happened.
We all did that.
But if you know, I think I like those Geekscape lives because we get to do a little bit of a narrative that we don't do here on the show. Let's see. Bolt T says, are you going to talk about trolling your audience? Yeah. Yes. Yes, that is what I did. We trolled the audience. And currently Matt Kelly's like, yes, thank you. Troll anybody but me, please. Matt Kelly says, he was ready to take the reins if I left Geekscape. Yet another reason why I can't. All right, let's talk. I mean, this episode is just gonna be long. Geekscape is too fucking bad. Like, if you're like, no, you got to keep it to an hour.
Sorry,
not today. I watched this movie that is kind of controversial. A lot of people were like liking it, not liking it, and Katie said she enjoyed it. She didn't understand why, but I enjoyed it, and I think I know exactly why. We're talking about the Matrix Resurrections.
I enjoyed it
this
as well.
Matrix Resurrections. Holy shit.
100% of this podcast.
I'm neither here nor there.
Resurrections.
I'm neither here nor there on the Matrix, like, ever. I thought the first movie was great. Groundbreaking, just like it was. But mainly, like, an effects thing with a traditional narrative that can either take it or leave it. The sequels, I watched that second one, and I got about an hour into it, and I was like, this is no good. And then I didn't even watch the third one. So I was not stoked about this fourth one because the sequels were not my bag.
So
I started watching this movie.
You literally never watched three.
Never watched three.
Where spoilers of like 20 years, they die in the end.
They die in the end. They crash I only know that because there's scenes of it flashbacked in this one. Okay. And they sacrifice themselves to free people, I'm guessing, in the Matrix. In the third one, and I'm watching this movie, and the Lena Wachowski autobiographical stuff in the first half is so great and so fun.
Yes.
I am loving having a director, a filmmaker, a storyteller talk about their experience of coming back and making a sequel and from the call out to Warner Brothers to the game design parallels.
Yeah. It's
to
also the first time
part of it's phenomenal.
It's also the first time in the Matrix universe that the Matrix was a real place.
I loved it.
It was never it was always a nondescript city, which is good for a video game.
Oh, Matt Kelly just added another
podcast. It's probably about the Matrix.
He probably sent you an email saying, let's do a Witcher podcast.
Oh, don't even tease me, girl.
Yeah. Matt, there you go. That's a free
one for you. I would rather do a Witcher podcast than wrestling. Yeah. I loved the Yes, you're right, because it was a nondescript, like, dark city in the first one. But here we got San Francisco. There's and I feel like it gave it, even though you learn later that this may be the Matrix, it may be not, like, like a digital version of them.
Yeah.
And not the real version of them. Mm-hmm. There was still a lot of weight to it. And Carrie Moss's character, when he rediscovers her, like, there's still weight. They're just unplugging and going into the Matrix we'll sacrifice this reality that actually, like I said, just had to wait to it. And I loved it. I think it was so much fun to listen to Lena Wachowski comment about where she was in her life and how the Matrix had affected it. Mm. And the autobiographical nature of the first half of this movie was so awesome. And it then kind of turns into a little bit of Matrix action fun towards the end of it in the second half. And I'm fun. You know, that's fun. Like, it's an impressive production. But God, that first half of this Matrix movie was so fresh and so much fun. And I understand why some people don't like it. But come on, like, let a movie be something else.
It's interesting that you call it fresh when it was very, very on point with every part of their theming. It's like, we're going to tell you exactly what themes we're discussing. We're going to tell you what we think about them.
And saying it out loud.
And we're going to say it out loud, and we're going to put it at the forefront. We know that this is a remake. We know that this is a sequel that no one really asked for. It's literally we're resurrecting this franchise almost to kill it again. Like, this is, I feel like this is going to be it. But how we talk about originality, is there such a thing as originality? And I think The Analyst was a huge part of, is it original?
Really cool.
Yeah. The Analyst was such, and The Analyst is it's the only one to use bullet time.
Yeah.
It was a remastering of something that made the first
Neil Patrick Harris's character.
Deja vu, being an actual cat. And being like a pet. And honestly, like, my favorite scene in that movie, and even like him working on the game Binary and having the trans metaphor just out there.
Binary. Everything's binary. And he and Trinity have to be together. They're two sides of a whole. And I loved that. I thought this movie felt incredibly personal. And that is what I loved the most about it.
It's also one of those that, like, I cannot wait to rewatch. Like, there's so many movies that I'm like, I'm glad I watched it. Never again. Don't Look Up, which is what I thought you were pumping this whole story up to. And I was like,
I was nervous for a second.
I was like, are we talking about Don't Look Up? But no, this one, I'm really excited to go back and rewatch, because there's so much I feel like I missed just initially, just because I was kind of blown away. And like, I think the tweet that I had sent out earlier in the week was, you know, I can't wait till somebody smarter than I can explain why I liked this so much.
That's what you wrote. Like, and I was like, no, Katie, getting it. You're getting it. Katie,
like defragging my brain, and I was like, what is happening? This is cool, but I don't understand.
Marcos Pena on YouTube says it has a Gremlins 2 level of meta humor. I agree. Jim Paganelli said, I love the new Matrix, much stronger character driven story than either of the sequels.
Agreed.
The Facebook user says, contact the doctor if your resurrection lasts more than 2 hours. It's 2.5 hours.
Well done, Facebook user.
Jim Paganelli comes back and says, also, is it clear to me? It's clear to me how much Agent Smith wants to really have sex with Neo. Rewatch it if you don't believe me.
That's just Jonathan Groff's face, everybody. That's just Groff's face.
I love Jonathan Groff. I love Jonathan Groff.
I was so glad he was in this.
So my little fan theory from the, and it's a very pervasive fan theory, was that Agent Smith was supposed to be Neo and not Neo. Because there's a lot of like, he's born in the Matrix, which Neo had to have been born in the Matrix. Thomas Anderson's not born in the Matrix. He's harvested. He has the ability to bend the Matrix to his will, which Agent Smith does. And it's when Agent Smith in the third one re-enters the Matrix that the Matrix resets. So like, there's a lot of like pieces of the Matrix that, you know, it kind of fits that like they kind of took the story away from Agent Smith. He kind of became this weird little side character because the Analyst became the Analyst. But I think my favorite part of this movie was Trinity. Yeah, and that she was, we never saw her Matrix life. We never saw her blue pill life. But
a couple times.
We saw a little bit of it.
It wasn't ever from her perspective. It was like, we're in a coffee shop.
Observing her. Yeah.
But it was
like, that seems like hell. Anyway.
There was a lot of aspects of her life. And it was very, it came out very much in that, in the actual scene in the coffee shop where they're talking. Mm-hmm. And I felt seen as a female creator in that dialogue of she has all of these interests that are not just being a mother. She's a mother. She works on motorcycles and she sees herself in this game. Like, doesn't that look like me? I played your game.
And her husband laughs at her.
And Matt MacGyver wanted to hit him.
Says Trinity's character arc was, I hate my husband and kids. I will leave my husband and kids. And I couldn't disagree more when she says, I wanted to kick him.
Yes.
I thought that dialogue was so good that she's so like, powerful. My husband listened to one of my dreams, listened to my thoughts, and laughed. And worse than that, I laughed too, which showed the erosion of my character and gives her something to fight back towards, the reclamation of her character.
And how
beautiful. And that towards the end of the movie, she is, to me, she's the one.
She's empowered. She's the one. And I think that it has to do with belief. It's Neo wasn't the one because he was the one because Trinity believed he was. And then the opposite is true for Trinity,
for her,
And it's about the belief in a person that makes them who they are.
Sorry, Matt MacGyver. I love you. You're a longtime Geekscapist from the OG from the beginning. But when you say Matrix Resolutions really blew me away, and it was so bad, it made me appreciate parts 2 and 3. Ooh. I gotta say, listen, no. Dude, I turned that crap off.
That's okay. You can be wrong. It's fine.
Yeah. And Matt actually has, Matt has a great point, though. He says two became one and they were the one. I was like, okay, I can see. Again, so of course, that binary argument.
It's they.
Argument. Yes, it's they.
It's the they and the.
Is the they.
Yeah,
it's the they. But
they pronounced right up in that matrix.
To close off this Trinity thing, it's she had all these interests and she was more than the definitions of her character, but she wasn't empowered by any of them. And I think in a female, it didn't feel like a female empowerment story, as is defined and as is like the thing that's beaten over the head, because it wasn't
the because abused wife wasn't. That needs to like go kick ass or whatever.
Yeah, or like you know,
but it was more of like a personal take back. Which I agree, it definitely resonated, and like I think was such a beautiful commentary on relationships as well. When like you could be so doused in like where you're at that you will also laugh at somebody.
Dude's name was Chad. Dude's name was Chad. And here's the thing. Towards the end, and here Geekscape has been out a little bit. Go watch it. And towards the end, when they had to make their big action sequence and the bots start turning on them and normal people start turning into the bots, I wanted to see those bot kids. I wanted to see those bot kids doing a little action. I wanted to see those bot kids get their asses kicked. In all honesty, I read something and I reposted it about 2 months ago that really opened my eyes, and it made me really appreciate movies that I had been critical of. Like Force Awakens, although that has structure problems, and Captain Marvel has structure problems, and those are kind of where my angle on like my issues with those movies are structurally. But the male characters have this Joseph Campbell hero's journey where you do this thing. Female characters, I think we've been comparing to that Joseph Campbell male arc, but this person who wrote this said that's that whole hero's journey thing isn't what a lot of these films are for the female characters. Yeah. And I'm the minority in this conversation as a male, but they say those stories are about already being a badass, not becoming a badass, which is the male thing. I got to become a badass. I need the Rocky montage. The female story arc is I don't need the Rocky montage. On page one, I'm a badass, which you see at the beginning of Force Awakens. Mm-hmm. You see at the beginning of Captain Marvel.
And you see at the beginning of Matrix Resurrection, because it starts with Trinity.
Right.
You're right. I want to see the acknowledgement from everyone else that I'm and myself that I am a badass. I want the acknowledgement that I'm a badass. I want to come into my power that I've already had, but I want to come into my power. And that's that conversation.
Have either of y'all seen The Ricardos?
I want to see that being The Ricardos. Yeah.
I highly recommend it, especially talking about these themes because it is within her own power. But it's very fascinating because you're in this certain timeline where certain things are happening. And it's something that Lucille Ball has often said, that like she wouldn't be able to do many things that she was able to do because she had Desi with her. And Desi was kind of like the one that allowed her to make all the decisions that she really wanted to happen kind of come to fruition, but she kind of had to work that. You'll see a lot of these themes in the movie because she is revered already, and she is, you know, just as powerful and just as hilarious, and I'm sorry, but Nicole Kidman's impression is it's insane.
Baller.
I heard her for the first time. I was like, oh, like, because I hadn't watched a trailer or anything, but if you just watch the trailer, it's amazing how she gets the rasp of her voice. It's kind of unreal. I was really skeptical about Nicole Kidman in that role, but she blows it out of the water. Javier Bardem playing Desi Arnaz is amazing.
Because the physical representation of them is not close. Like they do not look like the people they're inhabiting.
I mean, they're doing Lucille Ball like towards the end, end of the show, but like towards the middle, like she's at the height of fame. when all this stuff is happening. And it's really cool the way that they do it, and it doesn't beat you over the head, but it's also very much in its time, and how she works through all the stress of what's going on. It's kind of fascinating. And it is exactly what you were just talking about of, like, let's see a female currently in their power and how they're dealing with these different types of struggles.
Yeah. The journey is to be seen.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think that when I read that, I was blown away.
Acknowledged.
Yeah.
Acknowledged. Yeah. I think acknowledgement oh, Jonathan, and being sexist seen piece is of trash.
Podcast.
No, Jonathan, like, invite. Oh, Matt just invited, yeah. That's the podcast.
The feminist movie
Matt
club.
Just, Matt just greenlit.
Actually, we already have that club. One, but
we have the Femme Regard Geekscapist about female filmmaking. If you'd like to subscribe to that, we have so many shows on the podcast network. We have about 18 shows.
Damn.
Which Femme Regard should have Kate on if ever.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Heidi's recording her appearance on Femme Regard on Wednesday. Oh, so good. I'm looking forward.
Yay!
To hearing that. We have a lot of cool stuff going on in the network. We're running, I don't think we're going to get to Cobra Kai season 4. I haven't finished it.
Oh, thank God, because I haven't watched it.
Dude, I just like that Terry Silver is back.
I have to mute myself.
Karate Kid 3 always gets, like, the short end of the stick. And I'm like, no, that one's hilarious with Sasha Mitchell. That's a funny episode. Or that's a funny one. I'm looking forward to getting more into Cobra Kai season 4, but I'm kind of trying to get myself through some Witcher so I can hang out with Kate and Katie and talk like I know what I'm talking
about.
And
we can actually talk about what happens in episode 8 that freaking, like, I was like, do it. Just do it. Just make my life come true. Just make my dreams come true. Hold me till the pain goes away and make it happen. And it did. And I was so happy.
Let's talk a little bit to wrap up if we have any geek New Year's resolutions, but I'm going to start by saying a few from the Geekscapist. I put it out on the Facebook group Geekscape Forever. Geekscapist, if you're listening to this, join the Geekscape Forever group. We'll solicit more questions to y'all on there. Donald Bush says, my resolution was a Facebook less. I'm obviously failing. Jim Pellegrinelli says, I suppose I'm resolving to do anything. If I'm doing anything, it's to work on myself and make meaningful changes in my life and figure out what I really want and how to get it. I love Jim Pellegrinelli. We went to grad school together and he had a rough 2021. So Geekscape is throw out some positive thoughts to Jim. He's been a good friend for 2 decades now. He's the first person I met at Columbia. I walked in and was like, I just got in. What should I do? And this is while I was still an undergrad. I took the train up to New York and he goes, do you have student housing? I said, no. He goes, you're probably screwed. Go over there right now. I was like, okay. He's super stoked for Halloween Ends. And I know everybody at Horror Movie Night is as well. Jim's got some theories about Michael Myers having specific superpowers. And he wants to see if it sticks the landing on that. Dan Gilbert, who I have known even longer because we went to school together in Austin, said, I got back to investing in stocks again today, and without question, I'm pumped to see how Star Trek Discovery ends this season. Best captain since Picard, in my opinion. Ooh. That's awesome. Matt Kelly says, I'm saying I want to set aside at least one day a week where I do fun stuff as opposed to working from morning to night, 7 days a week. Stop adding podcasts. Just kidding, Matt. I love you. Add more.
Just going back on the Star Trek thread. If anyone hasn't, please check out Lower Decks. God, that show
is good. I love that show. It's probably it's probably the best Star Trek related content that's come out in the past few years.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch. Yeah, no, I've heard
from other fans.
But it's so good.
It's so funny.
It's hilarious. It's everything. It's honestly everything I think Orville wanted to be, and Orville was great.
I agree with you. Okay. I didn't actually understand that that's what I was liking about it, but I agree with you.
It's next gen, but it's funny.
It's funny. But it's also it's like Big Mouth, but in space. That's why, it's like that type of humor level, smart, but also stupid.
Yep. Very.
I've been described as such, so maybe I'll enjoy it.
I think you will. Honestly, I think you're going to enjoy it.
Derek Krandevelt, who we love so much. I just listened to his new episode of Xbox Game Passengers today. He released it. He's also the host of the Geekscape Games podcast. He said, I want to read more comics. I haven't in ages. So I resubbed to Marvel Unlimited and I'm I got a trade paperback of Something is Killing the Children, which I hear is cool. And you horror fans will probably love Something is Killing the Children. He also paid off most of his consumer debt over the past 18 months. Quit buying Mondo posters. Yay. Another 6 months should do it, unless they release more Mondo posters. If you're looking for comic books, Jeff Lemire just released, you know Jeff Lemire because he wrote Sweet Tooth, which got turned into a Netflix series, which I'm so glad it's getting a second season. He put together a five-issue series. Yes, it's getting a second season.
That's so great. Yeah.
Unlike Cowboy Bebop.
He wrote and
we don't talk about that. I'm not over it.
And drew a couple comics that I picked up over the break. He did I don't buy a lot of DC, but he did a Swamp Thing Black Label. That's it looks magazine sized. And the artwork is by Doug Mankey, who started out with a mask, did JLA. He's a great artist. This book is awesome. If you're into like horror stuff, it's really good. And it's Swamp Thing. So I thought that was great. And then Jeff Lemire wrote and drew a comic called The Maze Book, which I think is so beautiful. If you're a fan of his Essex County or The Underwater Welder, which got a shout out in Invincible, which I thought was so cool when he described Underwater Welder and Invincible, the cartoon series, I jumped off my couch and I was excitedly pointing at the screen. The Maze Book is about a guy, and you have to read it. And the panels kind of work like a maze. Like you follow the panels. There's openings in each panel that lead to the next one you should read. Sometimes you're turning the book because the art turns.
That's awesome.
And it's about a father who's lost his daughter, but he starts dreaming about her. She dies. Mm-hmm. She dies of cancer. You know that very early. But she always used to do mazes. And the whole comic is black and white except for the color red, which is the color of a thread of her sweater. And as you follow the thread through the comic, you start to follow the story, and he sees the thread, and he starts to see it around the city, and he starts to realize that the city is the maze, and he needs to find his daughter. And it's a movie, you know, it's about grief, and I loved it, and it's powerful. If you wait for it to come out as trade, I think you'll enjoy it. It's only five issues; you should be able to find all five here. But it's called The Maze Book.
I'm actually gonna check that out.
The Maze Book really is cool. Beautiful, yeah. And it kind of reminds me of like my favorite movie of 2021, which you'd think is Spider-Man Far From Home, and that was very close. Spider-Man Far From Home is very close to my favorite movie of 2021. Mm-hmm. But it was actually Pig with Nicolas Cage, which is not Mandy. Psycho. It is a movie about a man who's grieving, and I thought it was amazing in its simplicity and the way that it gave you distance to find yourself in the movie and think about the themes in the movie. And I loved it so much. Very excited about seeing more from that filmmaker. And Nicolas Cage, who is like he's doing his own renaissance. He's got that movie, that self-referential movie with Pedro Pascal coming out soon. Yeah, you see the trailer to that?
Crazy.
Yeah.
That looks amazing.
Like 700 projects.
Love it. Don't argue. Don't argue with Cage. Oh, we are blown up here on the comments. Our good friend Shane in Alaska, who's buried under 18 feet of snow, says the New Year's resolution, watch more movies. I'm an awful film geek. Buddy, we love you. Please don't pirate them.
Please don't.
Katie and I, well, I want to do a dramatic reading. I want to do a dramatic reading of the thread where Shane told us to sign the Save Cowboy Bebop petition. And then a few lines later admitted that he had pirated it.
That was heartbreaking, and it was one of those that like I was like going back through and reading. I was like, oh no.
Katie, can we find that thread again and just put it in final draft, and we're gonna get some actors together, and we're gonna do a dramatic reading. We're gonna do a dramatic reading of
he was very gung ho about this, and he's like, you need to sign this petition to
save Cowboy Bebop, and then you signed it.
Yeah.
I laughed hard, and I knew he'd pirated it. I knew he didn't pay iota for that Cowboy Bebop. I know my Shane O'Hare. I've known him for 15 years. OG Geekscapist. And I was like, this guy wanting us to sign a petition to a show he pirated. You don't get how this works. We got to do the dramatic reading of that. Kate will act in it. You'll play Shane.
Perfect. Right.
Christopher Robinson, he says, I want to paint more minis. Oh, we got ourselves a table topper.
Yeah.
Daniel Campuzano says, I'll always remember going to see Red Cliff with you and Jim Pellegrinelli in New York. That's a great memory, seeing John Woo's Red Cliff with you and Scott Klopfenstein, who played our live show.
Amazing.
Another resolution. Oh, Shane O'Hare wants to meet Big Yanks in person. Oh, he's a lovable creature. He says he's impressive in real life too. Now y'all are just talking in the chat. Feel free to jump in the chat and talk to Shane and Big Yanks.
Also, post your Christopher Robinson, post your photos of your minis as you paint them this year, because like I'd be so down to see that. I think it's the coolest thing.
Go to the Geekscape Forever group that you're already a member of, Chris, and share that. Derek Carnival is going to check out May's book. Shane says, play more baseball games this year, Derek. He played an MLB game for Xbox Game Passengers, and he was none too impressed. That was a hilarious episode. Let's see what else we got. Jake, I keep calling you Jake. Shane, too late, starts yelling, shut up, shut up. He doesn't want to sort of make fun of him for pirating a show that he later wanted to save. Daniel Campuzano, Big Ink, says, does Shane watch TV like North Korean refugees off of smuggled USB sticks?
More than likely.
You're gonna end up caned. All right, this is getting pretty in the personal weeds on Geekscapists. All the Geekscapists are coming out of the woodwork to talk shit on each other. But let's
happy 2022, everybody.
Yeah, 2022, and there's, you.
There's some positivity. Jim Puckerman says, "Oh, thanks, Yanks. That was a good time going to see Red Cliff with you." Mm. And then Chris Robinson says, "You wouldn't steal a car."
Oh God, I remember those ads.
Your geek New Year's resolution, Kate, before we wrap up?
I started getting into the podcast world last year, and so I'm really grateful to be on Geekscape. This is a pretty big deal for me. So I think 2022 is over. No, just kidding. But
3 days in, it's done.
Did it. Owned it. But I want to start making some of my own content as well. So I think that's a goal for 2022. Whether it's geeks, I'm building a world of my own. But I'm also a screenwriter and a director. So I'm trying to make some of my own content this year. So that is a huge goal. And then something that I've always wanted to play in, which I haven't done because I'm like, I don't know if I can do the, I don't know if I have the skill set, is I always want to do cosplay. So I've got two cosplays that I'm planning this year.
Do you know
to the Geekscape booth at Comic-Con and show it off.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking? What are you thinking?
I've planned a Femme Sesshomaru from Inuyasha that I want to do.
Tell Josh Jackson about that. Josh Jackson, who co-hosts Geekscape Games.
And I really want to do like the long green nails, so it's like Poison Claw. But it's
every
like
single one of Josh's online like you know how you're Cornellable on Cornellable on social media?
Yeah.
He is Inu Joshua on social media.
That's like, cute.
He is the biggest
fan
of that franchise.
Yeah, I want to do a Femme Sesshomaru, which is Inuyasha's older brother, who's the full demon. And I have a cool like little couture idea in my head. And then of course I want to do a Witcher cosplay, so it's either gonna be Ciri, her outfit from Wild Hunt, or a Femme Geralt. In some way.
Big fan of Femme Geralt.
Yeah.
Get it.
Shane also says, I think Katie would be the perfect Shane in the dramatic reenactment. So Katie, you got Shane's endorsement to play him in the Geekscape chat's dramatic reading.
I just won't show up for 3 hours.
No, you're in it. You're playing Katie. Yeah. Oh wait, you're right. Katie just read the text, and we could see that Katie was reading the text, and she's just like, "What the fuck?" As we just buried Shane. What about you, Katie? Geek New Year's resolutions?
I think very similar to you, Kate. I want to create more content. I really want to do that. Was one of my main goals, especially with the live show, is creating some more like fun geeking sketches and stuff. You know. Not always Super Action Man's junk in the face, but, you know, something.
Work with what you got. Work with what you got.
You got to work with it.
I paint with a very wide brush.
So in that case, I really want to do a reenactment of Vader cutting off Luke's dick and it going into his hand. And then have
if Christopher Robinson could make Death that Star prop for us,
yes,
paint
please
the mini. That would be really helpful to make this happen. I think this should be a full Geekscape Forever endeavor.
I really love
Jim. Jim Paganelli, what have you done? Yeah.
And then
live performances,
sketches and you know, filming, definitely just ready.
Some skits?
No, goddamn skits.
And Chris Robinson says, I love dicks.
That's so right, buddy.
Thanks, dude.
Good. We're in the money now.
Well, Geekscapists, we have some exciting stuff coming up. Like I said, we've already circled the weekend for the next live show. I think it would be around WonderCon, which I think is in March and April. Yeah. I just know that the venues we're talking about, and it's just not on the top of my head, but we've looked at it. Mm-hmm. We would do something, probably a Geekscape live show again in conjunction with WonderCon. We also have a new short film coming out this year. El Rey is a Geekscape production, and we've wrapped that up. I have it colored. It's being colored now.
Nice.
And I've already submitted it to, I think, 35 festivals. So we'll see. When it gets into two, you'll know how many it didn't get into. And then we're working on a feature film that some of y'all know about and some of y'all don't. But hopefully we get to shoot that film this year. I'd really love to. It'd be fun. But regardless, we shoot the film or don't shoot the film, you're going to be getting more Geekscape pretty much every week for the next year. Beyond. And some will feature Kate. Most will feature Katie. And I hope all of them feature you listening and enjoying the chat room or being a part of it, downloaded later on the podcast or watching here on Geekscape TV on YouTube or Twitch or Facebook or on the Twitter, which now shows it sometimes. Jim Paganelli, you're just not going to let this go. He says, okay, here's from the Urban Dictionary. To knock his or their dick in the dirt indicates a humiliating or violent setback has been suffered. Often in sports. Well, that's why we don't get the reference. It's a sports one. So thank you, Jim, for being our resident jock today. We love you. This is Mirror Universe, Jim, I think. Anything? Where do we follow you, Kate?
At Cornellaville. So okay. It's right there. And I'm on Instagram and I'm on TikTok. And some of the content that I started last year and need to continue. I don't know words.
Pick back up.
I tried to. Requel. Resurrect, if you will.
Cornellville Resurrections.
Yeah, Cornellville Resurrections. I used to do 1 minute breakdowns of film and TV. So
nice.
It's actually. I highly recommend it if anyone's in the creative field, even if you don't post them. Getting your ideas down to 1 minute is a really good practice in like getting your ideas succinct, because we as geeks have obviously spent 90 minutes talking about a bunch of stuff. So it's like trying to get yourself concise is actually a really cool exercise and a really cool practice.
P.S. If you haven't already, you should on TikTok follow Goofy Straw Hat. He's really great.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Just similar stuff, but cool. Awesome. Okay.
Kitty is at L Sassy Pants.
I'm at L Sassy Pants. You can find me on
TikTok.
With a Z on TikTok. I haven't posted so much on TikTok since the great incident of yesteryear. Was that 20? No, that was 2020. So
it all blends together.
It all blends.
Time is a human construct. Don't worry about it.
It's a flat circle. I have no idea. I post content regularly more on Instagram and Twitter. And I follow a bunch of people on TikTok. So follow me. I'll follow you back. And I love jokes. Okay.
Well, Geekscape is, you can follow me at Jonathan Lennon on Twitter, at geekscape.net on Instagram, but just search for Geekscape. You'll find us on the Instagram. You'll find Matt Kelly on TikTok. Probably you'll find us on Facebook if you join our group or our page and share photos, like share about your life. That's kind of what it's kind of what we built and is by design. And I said it from the beginning. I don't know how many of y'all have heard this, but when I started Geekscape back in 2006, I quote unquote wanted to create something that survived me walking off the wrong curb in front of a bus. And the only way we could do that is by creating a community for y'all to create things and share of your own lives. So if you're creative, come be creative with us. If you're just a fan, come be a fan of our stuff, like sharing the enthusiasm. And I welcome both these guests right here. Well, one's my co-host, Katie. I welcome both of y'all to any creative pursuits you have. If we can help you with them here on Geekscape, either by helping you with the crowdfunding or helping you with the production and all that stuff. We've been doing that stuff for 15 years, and that's kind of what we want to do, is create a little place where creative people and geeks can be creative geeks together. So there's that. All right, Geekscapists, if you're listening to this, I love you. Don't hate. Create, unless you're making fun of Shane, who said it best. right here on YouTube. Geekscape forever. I love you all, and over and out. Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.